Blessed good evening to everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God calls, as our passage for consideration this evening impresses, we must follow immediately and forsake all. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Is the Lord Jesus Christ's second encounter, at least in the record of the Bible, of these disciples, Andrew, Peter, James, and John. We know that in John chapter 1, we are told that John the Baptist introduced one of his disciples, Andrew, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Andrew also found his brother, Peter, and introduced him to the Messiah. And this second encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples was his call for the full-time service of these disciples. Verse 18 says that as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. It is interesting here to see that they are casting a net when we understand that it is broad daylight. And why were they fishing during the day? Well, we can understand this by referring to a parallel passage in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, where we have here the detailed record of how the Lord Jesus Christ met Andrew and Peter first. That after Jesus was preaching, when he walked and saw Simon, in verse 4 of chapter 5 in the Gospel of Luke, he said to Simon, "Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Peter explained that they have just finished having their fishing trip for one night and they have caught nothing. They have not even caught even one fish. And they did not have anything. And when Jesus was commanding him to cast the net during the daylight, he was doubtful. He was questioning the suggestion of Jesus. How come this son of a carpenter is telling me, who is a master fisherman for all my life, I've been fishing, and now he's commanding me to cast my net during this broad daylight when we caught nothing last night? But here we know Peter gave in to the command of the Lord. And he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. It was a great catch. There was so a multitude of fishes, a tremendous catch that they have. And so they invited other partners to help them. And Peter realized, as he called Jesus Christ first in verse 5, "Master," he now realized this is not an ordinary teacher. He is not an ordinary leader, but he is God himself. Who can command this ship? Or who can command these fishes to come and gather together and went into or go into our net? Who can command these fishes to come during broad daylight and just be there found inside our net. He realized this is the Son of God. He realized he is the very Holy One of Israel. And so Peter, realizing this, he fell down at his Jesus' knees and worshipped him and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And now he's calling the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord. Going back to Matthew chapter 4, we know that after this event, after this miracle that Jesus did, he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now for Peter, who have seen the great catch of fishes, the great multitude of fishes, he could have thought of inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to become one of their partners in their fishing company. As most of us might think, "Oh, how good is this man? How good is he when he will be with us? He can help us so much with our fishing venture. And he can just tell us when and where we should fish. And we can get so much of fishes." We could have offered the Lord Jesus Christ 50-50. "You will get every time we catch fish, a 50% will be back or will be given unto you." But here the Lord invited them instead of following him. And we have here in verse 20 a very interesting response of Peter and Andrew. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Straightway, immediately, right away, at that instant, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ and they forsook their nets behind. Well, we might say there was some point of time between their fishing and then when they really followed the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know that there was this willingness, there was this desire to really follow Jesus without any condition, without any bargaining, without any questioning. "Lord, how come that you want to follow you? How about these fishes that we have just caught? How are we going to sell this? Or what are we going to do with this? Or how about our family? How can we feed them? How can we provide them? Or what about our future? How can you provide for us? What are the promises that you can tell us that we are really ensure that we will follow you? You will provide us for all the things that we need. Or what are our job description, Lord? What are the things that we need to do and what are the things that we must receive or we will receive from you?" No, they just straightway with willingness in their hearts, understanding that this is God himself who is here with us, powerful, having dominion over these fishes. Having dominion over these fishes to just come and gather around and get into our nets. This is a tremendous and spectacular miracle done by the Lord Jesus Christ before them. Straightway, they left their nets and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, we also have here the two brethren, James and John, which we know they were partners of Peter and Andrew, and as they have seen how that stupendous miracle was done, when the Lord Jesus Christ also invited them, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Immediately, they left their ship and their father and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. When God calls as Christians, as one who is called, or if we are called to full-time ministry, we must follow him immediately and forsake all. I praise and thank God for this opportunity to share with you my testimony of how God calls me into salvation and full-time and for this training into full-time ministry. I am a Filipino. I was born into a very devout Roman Catholic family. We were living just a few meters away from the Roman Catholic Church, and that even when we will not go and attend a church, we can still hear the Mass every morning and many times during Sundays. Our parents were teaching us, and the leaders of the church, of course, were teaching us that it is only the Roman Catholic Church, the only church from which we can only have the assurance of salvation. And so we grow up devoted to the church. We grew up loving the church. We grew up trying to serve the church, knowing that or believing that this is the only church that can bring us and guide us into heaven. Although we were pious and religious to the Roman Catholic Church, in our private lives and personally in my life, I know I am so sinful. I know I am doing so many immoral acts and so many wickedness in my life. But we were taught that when we serve the church, we give ourselves to the sacraments of the church, doing whatever the church is requiring us, somehow the weight of our sins will be balanced by our good deeds. And so we tried to give our best in every activities of the church. And in fact, when I was finishing my secondary education, I was intending to enlist myself to one of the missionary society to become a missionary priest in Africa. I thank God that my mother did not permit me to do so. So I went into university, but still in these both secondary and university days, we were dedicated, and I was dedicated, to do the works for the church. So much deception, because we were told that we have to worship Mary, we have to worship the saints, we have to do our own good works in order to be saved. It was more of a Marian religion than a Christian religion. So much darkness, believing that we are pious and religious when in our own private lives we are doing all wickedness and immorality. That was my Roman Catholic life. After that deception, the more that I was so much involved into a confusion or into a confusing group of charismatism when charismatic movement entered into the Roman Catholic Church. Speaking in tongues, all these dreams and visions by which we were told that all these are manifestations that we are truly Christians. When in fact, we know, and I know myself, that I am living in a very sinful and immoral life. But in front of the people in the fellowship, people in the movement, I was speaking in tongues, declaring my dreams, declaring my visions as if it was from the Lord. But privately, I was doing all wicked things. There was no sense of guilt. There was no sense of conviction because there was no Holy Spirit in me. I thank the Lord that by His providence, after my studies, when I entered or work in the university where I graduated, there was an opportunity for me to continue a postgraduate studies in Japan. I was so hesitant because I was so dedicated and attached to the charismatic movement that I belong to. But it was the Lord's will that I had to go to Japan. And it was there that I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Or He found me. When I went there, I have the idea and I have the desire to spread charismatism in the Roman Catholic Church in Japan. And when I failed, I got frustrated. And I went into friendship with some of the Filipinos who were doing jobs during nighttime. And it was there that I got into vices and openly doing immorality. I thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit convicted me. And He put fear of death in me. I cannot sleep. I could not sleep. I could not rest. I was really, I thought I was going to be crazy. My wife was still in the Philippines during that time. I was alone. And so I cried. I was afraid to sleep because I know that if I will sleep and I will die, I know hell will be the best place for me. I was so scared. Well, I thank the Lord that He provided me a friend in a Pentecostal church to alleviate my fears, bringing me back into Pentecostalism, into a kind of all this slaying the spirit, extreme Pentecostalism. But the Lord was merciful and gracious unto me that He brought me into a fundamental Bible-believing church, which one old American pastor was serving. And it was there that I was taught the truth about God's Word and how this Christ of the Roman Catholic and the Christ of the Charismatic and the Pentecostals are the false Christ. And it is only the Christ of the Scripture who is the living and true God. I praise the Lord that by His grace and mercy, I received the Lord Jesus Christ way back in 1999. After my studies of 5 years in Japan, we went back to Philippines to fellowship with a fundamental Baptist in our province, in the island of Mindanao. But since the spiritual feeding was so light, I backslided. I was busy with my research. I was busy with all the requirements in the university. I went back into my immoral friends, and I was so influenced to do again what I had done before. I backslided to the point that I really stumbled. I thank the Lord that He did not left me destitute. He granted me another year of postdoctoral work in Japan for a year. I went there and I praised God, for it was the spiritual revival of my life. I gained strength from the teaching of God's Word. And I realized how precious is the Word of God to my life. I realized that it was the source of strength and power and energy to my spiritual life. I was really enjoying the study of God's Word. And it was there that I have the burden to share and to evangelize. It was then that after a year, almost finishing that 1 year, my pastor was diagnosed with cancer. And he was to be hospitalized for around 8 months. It was the Lord's providence that He granted me another 2.5 years of postdoctoral fellowship that I can continue to serve in Japan and help my pastor. It was there that when he was hospitalized, I was the one being in charge in the church. By the way, when we talk about church in Japan, don't think of churches like in Singapore. The average number of members of churches, of fundamental and Bible-believing churches in Japan, is only around 10 to 15 members. And the Lord granted me the joy and the burden to continue serving Him. And so when this burden was really heavy for me and I wanted to serve God, I opened this to my pastor, and I told him, I want to serve the Lord, and I want to be a so-called tent-making missionary. Tent-making in the sense that I would continue working here in Japan, and then Saturdays and Sundays I will be helping you. But his response to me was different. And he said, if you are really called and you have the burden to serve God, you must be trained. And I told him, trained? I'm almost 40 years old and I still have to go back to Bible school, seminary, whatever. And I have my own work in here. How can I do my studies with my work here? And he said, you must be trained. I kept on arguing that I know already the gospel. I know already some parts of the Bible. I know already how to share God's word. Why need to be trained? It's just a waste of time, because 3 years would be a good time for me here to help you. But he said, you must be trained. And there's only one Bible college that he can recommend to me. And he said, I want you to be trained in Far Eastern Bible College here in Singapore. And so I thank the Lord for that suggestion and counsel of my pastor. But though that was his suggestion, I did not really agree with him. I know that when I will be trained, I will be quitting my job. And what will happen to my family? How will I feed them? How will I let them be educated? How will I send them to school? And who will support us? And pastor was explaining that the church in Japan could probably support. He will support. But he was already more than 80 years old. He was sick of cancer. And I thought, 1 year, 2 years from now, you will be dead. And who will support us? Who will supply us, our needs? So I was really hesitant. And I wanted just to go back to Philippines and continue my work there in the university and serve my church there. And so we kept on praying, Lord, help us, guide us, and may you will tell us and show us the way where you want me to serve. I was praying to God, Lord, if you want me to serve here in Japan, please allow me to have another contract of a work here. Or if you want me to go back to Philippines, I will serve there and work in the university. I was not praying that I will be in training. I was not praying that I will be here in Singapore. But one day, while we were praying, having our devotion as a family, this passage that we are considering today is the passage that was given to us. And the word that struck me was these words in verse 19. And he says unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. There was no one who explained to me. There was no one who expounded the words to me. There was no one who exposits the word, the meaning of this word. But it struck me that I must follow him straightway, immediately, and left my nets behind. It was difficult for me to accept God's word and God's command. It was difficult for me to admit that this was God's direction for me. I cried. I rebelled against God. I told my children, I cannot pray anymore. You pray, you stop, you close this devotion and pray for yourself. I cannot pray to God, because my heart was really rebelling and my heart was really questioning his decision, his direction. Why do you want me to quit my job? That was the interpretation that I received from leaving the nets behind. Why don't you want me to leave my profession? I've been working so hard 15 years to get this degree, and then after that you want me to leave all these things? And what about my family? And how will I feed them? How will I clothe them? How will I shelter them? That was the question that was in my heart. It was difficult for me. But I thank the Lord that he is so merciful and so gracious. He gave me the grace to understand that the way by which the Lord took me to Japan was not just for my own degree, but it was all for my own soul, for my salvation. And he slowly taught me that I must submit to his will, to follow him and be trained. It was difficult. It seemed so very dark future for me, but I don't know how I just managed myself to just make a resignation and apply here in Singapore. I didn't know. I don't know if I wanted to recall how I did it. I just can't remember well how did it happen. I just realized that I applied here. I just realized that, I had the courage to follow. I had the courage to apply for or to write for the letter of resignation. And the very minute before I submitted my resignation to the university, I even asked my wife, are we really serious with these things? Are we really into it? I was doubting. But God wants us to follow him straightway and leave and forsake all. I thank the Lord that he enabled me with my weak, with my sinful heart, with my doubting heart, with my mind so ignorant of his power, of his providence, of his provision. I was doubting him. Now I am declaring this before you, that God is so faithful and true to his calling. When he calls us, we should follow immediately and forsake all, because he who calls us is the God, the creator, the God, the sustainer, the God, our savior. He made all these things, and he can create all things, and he, all in all things, can make it all possible. He sustained us in our lives here on earth. He's the one who provided us all these things. It's not our strength, it's not our might, it's not our intelligence, it's not even what we have gained in our work and in our jobs that supports us. It's only from the Lord. And he saved us. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. He bought us with his blood. And we cannot just do things by our own, because we are of God and we are of his, because he bought us with his precious blood. How can we say no? How can we delay? How can we say no, Lord? How about these things? How about those things? And what will be in the future? God is God, omnipotent, omniscient, is what was mentioned earlier. He is God who knows what is ahead, and he is God who is all-powerful to do all things for us. I praise the Lord that he brought me here in Singapore to be trained. And in FEBC, I realized, and I had to swallow my pride, that I really don't know anything about the Bible. Yes, I knew my things here and there, but the totality and the theology, there were so many things that I have to unlearn. There were so many things that I have to learn also. In fact, I wanted just to finish as fast as possible. I prayed, Lord, 3 years would be enough. Well, the Lord showed me that I really need badly a training, because until now, I'm already 5 years in FEBC. I'm still under training. I'm praying, Lord, when can I at least have that, reach that period where I can be sent out? But I thank the Lord for these 5 years of training in the Far Eastern Bible College, where I am taught the pure, perfect Word of God. And I thank God for our faithful lecturers, that they really give us the pure teaching, uncorrupted teaching of God's word. I praise the Lord for his providence. When God calls, we who are called into full-time service must respond and follow him immediately. And we must forsake all. God is a God who will not call and then found himself mistaken or find himself mistaken, but he's a God who knows it all. And why can't we submit ourselves unto him? Why can't we give ourselves to the call and respond to God's call for us to serve? After our studies, my studies here, I pray the Lord will lead us specifically to the place where he wants us to serve. God willing, we'll be back in Philippines to serve there. We pray that may you'll continue to remember us in prayer, and may you will help us to pray even in the dark, confused, deceived place of Roman Catholicism and Charismatism. May the light of truth be placed there and be declared. And may the Lord be glorified in our lives. And I praise God and I give back all the glory to him who called me into salvation and to this opportunity to be trained towards full-time service. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for how you have arranged our lives. We thank thee, Lord, for you have given us opportunities and privileges to serve thee. We are all unworthy. We are all not able. But you are a God who knows what we can do and what you want us to do and how you can use us in thy ministry. Help us, O God, to respond to your call immediately and forsake all so that we can submit unto thee and surrender unto thee all of our lives. We pray and give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.